Lord, yes, Lord. Father, we come before you this morning and we ask you to touch our hearts today. Lord, we ask you to fill us with compassion. Lord, let us leave this place a different person than the one that we came in. Anoint me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were watching this, I thought about my life growing up. This was a while ago, before the do not litter signs came up. And we would be traveling, and we had Pentecostal evangels and gospel tracts, and we'd see somebody walking down the road, and my dad would say, throw it out. Then he would look in his rearview mirror and pray for him. Oh, yes, God, they picked it up. They picked it up. Save them, Lord. Save them, Lord. We never know how many people are in heaven because of that. But as I grew on up, well, he would do that everywhere we went. And to tell you the truth, I was kind of embarrassed that I was there when he was kind of invading people's privacy, I thought. And then I became like a member of a church over here on the Loop, and they asked me to be the youth pastor, quote, Christ Ambassador President. And I was, the pastor said, we're going to have the Christmas parade, and we're going to go down and pass out some gospel tracts. Well, by then I was in business, and Tyler had several stores and restaurants, and so I thought, well, I don't really want to do it, but I have to, because the pastor asked me to do it. And I walked up, we parked down there where the jail is now, and walked all the way up to the square. People lined the streets, and I saw all of my customers and the business people, my associates, standing there. And I thought, okay, and I started out, and I said, well, we're trying to keep Christ in Christmas. Let me give you this. By the time I got back to the car, the Holy Spirit had taken hold of me, and it was easy. It'll always be hard to start with, but we have got a job to do. This morning, I want you to picture this. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe you've seen this before, where that all of a sudden, you know, we have a child that is lost in the woods. He wanders off, and he's lost in the woods, and darkness is closing in. Now, first of all, the parents think, well, maybe he's just playing hide and seek. Maybe he's trying to play a trick on us, and he's off somewhere. And then as the absence gets longer, well, they finally realize this is serious. And so they call 911, the police and the firefighters and the search and rescue teams come, the dogs arrive, community volunteers arrive, they have on their boots their flashlights, and they begin to comb through the woods on foot. Finally, the FBI's search team comes in, then you hear a helicopter across the way, you finally hear them say, we need to drain the pond. And people are out there eager, even if they're the raunchiest sinners possible, it'll touch their heart. I've got to come and help find this child. I've got to seek that which is lost. All of a sudden, someone hollers, we found him, or we found her. And everybody rejoices because what was lost has been found. This morning, the Lord has laid a message on my heart called Seeking the Lost. Seeking the Lost. First of all, we got to recognize who is lost and what did they lose. We call it, in theological training, the lostness of man. Before a person can be saved, they have to realize they're lost. Before a drowning person can be reached for, they have to recognize that they need help, that they're drowning, and that they need help, and they're hollering, and they're crying out, and it's for real. Amen. Psalm 14, verse 3. And I will use lots of scriptures this morning, and so they'll be on the screen, and so you need to just write them down and take them with you, because as we heard last week, it's the power of the Word of God that sets the captives free. And it says, they all turned aside. How many? All turned aside. They've all together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. No, Luai. There's not one that does good. They've all become corrupt. So this lostness affects everyone. So who needs to be saved? All need to be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do a study sometime on the word all. And you know, it says bring all your tithes into the storehouse. I'll throw that in. David did a good job with that. But our God shall supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And so it's all. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 says, the soul who sins shall die. And so death brings destruction. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned." And what's the result of sin? Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The word for death is actually means separation. Physical death is when the breath is gone and the body and soul is separated from the body and you have to call the funeral home. I think I was told that it actually began in the mariner operation, and that was the word they used when the boat left the bank, the wharf, the port. And when I've been on boats, I always like to sit and watch. And I think about this scripture. When I finally watch them take away that rope, that cable, from that big thing they wrap it around to hold the boat there, and then all of a sudden it begins to move. And so that's when we say that death has occurred. It's separated from the bank. And so that's what happens. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you're already separated. You're already lost. It's the lostness of man. And these are just scriptures here that talk about our lostness. I'll just go on with my story a little bit, because God did get a hold of me to where that we started Teen Challenge here in Tyler. And it was to reach out. And at that point in 1969, you know what, Charlotte? I realized the other day on January the 9th, that was 45 years ago. Oh, my goodness. And during that time, if at that point, it was hippie, druggy coming in to this city. Before then, it was don't take any gum from anybody at the bus station that might have dope in it. That's all we knew, the word dope. But all of a sudden, God opened doors. We began to obey the Lord, just like Randall said this morning. We just obeyed Him. People say, "Oh, you've done a great..." No, no, we just obeyed the Lord. That's all we've done. That's all we're doing now, just going on with what the Lord says to do. But we began to where that actually we would have emergency room call me and say, "We've got someone here on drugs. We don't know what to do." The doctors say they don't know what to do. "Would you come?" And I'd go, and I said, "Well, they're having a flashback." And I'd pray for them, and God would set them free. And we were, you know, that was the way it was. But at that point, it began. It actually began when an evangelist came through to speak to our youth, and he said, "I want to teach you how to witness." And we had this script that he gave us to memorize, and it started out with these scriptures right here. And just as a man works on a job and receives wages, when we sin, we earn spiritual wages, and those wages are death, which means separation from God. So I had this beautiful yellow and white 1965 pickup with a bed on the back, long, wide bed, and I was going around from store to store, and I had this down here, you know, kind of like people do today, texting, don't do it. And I was down like this. And I was trying to memorize that. And I thought, this is so dumb and stupid because, you know, what am I going to do? Walk up to somebody and say, you know, and they're going to get saved? I just didn't really believe it. But I memorized it. And I had this store right here by Taco Bell, right up the road. And I was there one morning, and I saw a young man walking up with his little bag on his shoulder, a young man. And I said, wonder if he's going to come in at the store. And the Lord said, "He is coming in, and I want you to witness to him." And so sure enough, he got right there to the driveway, and he came in. The same time, six guys came in at the same time. And I waited on them. I was by myself. And I turned around, and I just waited on him, and I was going to talk to him, and all of a sudden, he was gone off the parking lot. And I felt so horrible that morning. I felt like I have disobeyed God. He told me what to do, and I didn't do it. And I said, "Lord God, if you will just help me, if you'll just help me, I will find him. If I can get some help in here, I'll leave the store and I'll go find him." And so a miracle happened, because the employees came in 10 minutes early, and that was a miracle. And so I in the meantime, I got my Gideon Bible out, and I started marking these scriptures down and putting paper clips with those pages so it'd be easy for me if I was nervous and forgot. And I took off, and I came right by this location, right down through here, and I couldn't find him all the way down. No, he's not there. And I thought, well, I'll get to the loop, and I'll take a left and go get Charlotte. And the Lord said, go on. So I passed this place here. There was two places just like this at the time. One was over here. They were identical. They both had columns in front. They later tore that one down. They later tore that one down and made a motel out of it. And this one stayed, and we got Church of Living Hope. I passed on down, and all of a sudden, past that bridge down yonder, going up that hill, well, I saw this young man walking again. And I pulled over, and he recognized me from the store. I said, get in. And I thought, well, okay, where do you want to go? Well, I'm headed to Dallas. I'm headed to, Rockwall, somewhere up in there. And I said, well, I'll take you to the Interstate 20. And so I started, as I went through Swan, I started telling about a young man that lived there and how he was this and he was that and God saved him. I just chatting, you know. And then I said, if you'll stay here, I'll buy your dinner and I'll bring you back out here later. And, you know, it was a real big sacrifice. I owned the restaurant. He said, no, I've got to go on. And I said, well, I'll take you to church. No. He said, actually, I've been in jail all week, Smith County Jail, and I just got out this morning. My parents are worried. They don't know where I was. And I got up there at Interstate 20, right across from Cracker Barrel is now, and I stopped. I said, before you get out, I said, I want to tell you something. And I said, the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of a sudden, it was no longer a memorized script. It was just flowing out. It was flowing out. See, this is how you find the lost people. You just obey the Lord. And I got through that, and I said, would you like to accept the Lord into your life? He said, I sure would. Tears going down his face. And he got through with that prayer, and I got through with that prayer. He said, you're the first person in my life that's ever talked to me about God. I knew then that there were other, his name was James, there were other Jameses and Johnnies and Bettys and Susies and all of these ladies. There were more that God would lead me to, because there were people that were, they were getting past the church net. See, our church mission is to take the church to the world. And it was at that point that I realized that God had something else, and I couldn't say get out. I said, well, let me take you a little farther. And so I took off and I turned at Highway 849, where God later put Calvary Commission. And I prayed for him. I didn't do anything else. I didn't say, let me have your phone number, address. All that is called follow-up. I said, well, Holy Spirit, you'll have to do it, because we didn't do it right. But every night we say, Lord, wherever James Bostick is, we pray for him, oh Lord, we pray for him. And so we did that as my boys grew up. We was praying for James. And as years went on and God called us into ministry, and we ended up in Reynosa and Hidalgo, Texas, and some men came in to help us. And they were from that same town that James was at, Wiley, Texas. I said, have y'all ever heard of James Bostick? They said, no. I thought, well, okay. And so we had the outreach, and we got back, and one of them called me. He said, you know, there's a man that's been a grocer in Wiley all of these years, and he knows everybody in town. So we asked him if he had ever heard of James Bostick. He said, yes, I heard of him. Said he went in the army, but he developed cancer, and they sent him home, and he died just last year. I said, did he say anything else? They said he was praising the Lord when he died. Now, God didn't have to do that for me. But that's how he puts things together, see. That's how he puts things together. People that are separated from God are without Christ. Jesus looked at those lost people as a lost sheep. and for which the shepherd searches diligently through the thorny wilderness, because that sheep has severed himself from the one who was its guide. He's removed himself from the fold. He's gone his own way. He's become lost. He has no homing instinct. He's lost. At other times, well, Jesus pictured lost people as terminal patients on which the doctor has had to give up on. Worse, like criminals with a sentence of death to be carried out. He compares their lostness with death, destruction, damnation. So Jesus presents these lost people as going astray and being condemned, lost in such a way that it requires more than that they simply be found. They must be awakened to eternal life and saved. This morning I was reading about the resurrection, about how that they came and they found the stone rolled away. And in the comments, in my observation, it said that it was not rolled away to get Jesus out, but to let others in. Think about it. John and Peter and Mary Magdalene, and they went in and they saw that Jesus made up his bed. It says that. It says that it was neatly in place. And so you have to make up your beds. But it was, the napkin was in place. But it was to let people in. And so we need to let people in. As we were singing this morning, I thought about his love. And you say, how much does he love me? Well, he loved you this much. Not just this much, but this much. The cross is a sign and a symbol of his love. And without that awakening, that person will be eternally lost. But with that awakening, it will be saved. Now, listen. People have to do what they can do, just like this script that I gave. He needed to say, I want to follow the Lord. But in reality, I had nothing to do with that. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that led me to do it, the work of the Holy Spirit that awakened James Bostick to listen and to obey and to hear. And so we need, Jesus' whole world mission was to find the lost people and to redeem them, to rectify their sinful acts, to place them on the right path. He came for this purpose. Jesus, King of Kings, King of Truth. He taught that his mission on earth was to seek and save that which was lost. I want you just to pause for a moment and think about the word seek. Seek. Go back to the little boy or girl lost in the woods. They were seeking them. They're to seek the people that are lost. In fact, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. So the seeking is part of the salvation. Mark 8:36-38. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Is it popularity? Is it riches? God can supply needs. Since that first step of obedience, he supplied every need we had. Every need we had. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? This is the most important decision anyone could ever make in their life, is what are they going to do about Jesus? Either they accept him as who he is, Savior, King, or they reject him in disobedience and say, I want no part of it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I think of the story of the woman at the well. And I love this story. In fact, that was the first message I ever tried to preach in Spanish. And to this day, I don't know if I had her in the well, at the well, or on the well. But this man got saved that night and later became an evangelist in Mexico. So, but Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And it was not their popular route. In fact, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And so they avoided it. They went around it. But Jesus said, I'm going past it. He saw this woman at the well and he said, would you give me a drink? And he said, I can't believe this. I'm a Jew. She said, I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew, and the Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. And he said, if you knew who was asking you, you would get living water. He said, where can I find this living water where I'll never thirst again? And Jesus began to tell her who he was and that she accepted the living water. And she went into the city and said, come and see a man that's told me everything I've ever done. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you've said right because you've had five husbands. The man you're living with now is not your husband. I believe you're a prophet. Where are we supposed to worship? And he led her right on in to where that she said, come and see a man that's told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Yes, it was the Christ. So sad that so many people are still looking for him. And he came, and he is here. John 4, 27 through 35. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he was talking with this woman. Yet no one said, who do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, she knew the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is not a part-time job as a Christian. It's full-time that we're to work until we have our last breath. We're to be a witness, not just what we say, but being who we are. And to finish the work. He says, do not say that there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. For they are already. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. For they're already white for harvest. So we will never be unemployed as a Christian. There's no unemployment office for the Christian, for the believer. Because there's always work to do. That's what they sang about this morning, that there is work to do. Now, what does it take for us to become seekers to those who are seeking? To go out and find them and help to win them and to win the lost at any cost. It takes compassion, and compassion brings action. You say, Pastor Joe, are you wanting all of us to be ministers? Absolutely. You're wanting all of us to be evangelists? Isn't that just a calling for a few? No, that's not right. There's people that God will put a gift on to talk about evangelism. That's what I'm doing this morning. And to challenge people to get busy for the Lord. There's a work of an evangelist. But all of us are part of the Great Commission that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And so we are all involved in that. And we're all to have that. With compassion, it comes from passion. And when we have a passion, I was thinking about the word passion a few days ago. It's very kin to calling. It's very kin to a drive. People have passion to make sales. People have passion to build a building. It's that inner thing that gives us, it's that keeps us going, it's that energy that is inside. But compassion for Jesus, a passion for him, will bring compassion that we will have to reach out to others. We will be burdened. I think about the song that says, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I ever do my part to win that soul to thee. And so it's that where that we have that love. You see, with the love of God will come love for others. And if we really love God, we don't want to see any perish. We want to see everyone pardon me, brought to the Lord. And we want to be able to reach them before it's too late. You realize, like it started there, it's heaven or hell. Two roads. We can know that we're ready for heaven. We can know that we have been bought with a price. we can know that the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Now Jesus saw and he felt. He was moved with compassion for them. He saw them as weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we need all of us to be light to the dark world around us. We need all of us to be the mouthpiece of Jesus before the world. We need all of us to have a life that is there for people. If they can't see Jesus personally, they see someone that follows him. They see his character. They see his love. They see his care. Where are they? Where are the lost people? We have to go seek them. Matthew 22:9. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. It's a story about the wedding, the divine invitation that is there to go and find them and to invite them to become part of the family of God. Luke 14:12 is a part of this same thought. Then he said unto them who invited him, when you give a dinner supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. We're talking about where are the lost. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. You say, but those are the undesirables, not to Jesus. He says, I can do something with that life. He says, with me, there is hope for that person. Says, not what they did, but what they will be doing. Not who they were, but who they will be. Hope is part of the character of Jesus. Invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And oh yes, God can take those negative things that were in their life and turn them and renew them and refresh them and redeem that mind. And that person that says, give me a gun, I'll go get us some money from that store. Say, give me a Bible, I'll go take over a country for Jesus. That same energy can be given to the kingdom of God. Verse 15, chapter 14. Then when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Verse 16. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. So are we supposed to stay small? Well, we're not going to get big for the sake of numbers. But he says, everyone. He says, all. They invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say those who were invited, come. For all things are now ready. And folks, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. We have English and Spanish scriptures up here because we want to reach everyone. We want to reach every race, every culture. And so this says to the person that comes in, we're interested in you. All were invited. We're ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. You say, uh-oh, I think I'll leave now. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I'm in the real estate business. I must go and take care of it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got to go test them out, you know. It's like Lake Palestine on a Sunday morning. They're going to the church of on the lake. It's their own church. It's in the boat. I've got to go in and test them, this motor. You know, I've got to see if the fish are biting so I can tell my Christian friends when to go, where to go. I ask you to have me excused. Here's a big one. This is kind of like what David was talking about this morning. I married a wife. I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. So church is for everyone. And we have to be ready to receive everyone. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, I don't want you to tie ropes around them and drag them. But I want you to let them know that it's very serious and they need to hear the gospel. And we need to be ready to receive them. That my house may be filled. For I say to you that those that made excuses, those that were invited, none of them will taste of my supper. I can truly say that there's joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in ministering for Him, not in giving and not expecting anything in return. Every now and then, there will be someone that comes back to say thank you, but that's not why we're doing it. It's because there is joy in being able to win the lost at any cost and to reach out and touch people's lives. There's joy. There's great life. And when he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, he says, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's where the abundant life is being in the will of God. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way in your life. So we need to be seekers. We need to go out. We need to be that rescue team that finds that lost person. Ezekiel chapter 34 verses 4, it's a little preaching to us. The weak you've not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought that which was lost. Said you didn't go out. You didn't do that. You didn't do what was asked of you. You didn't seek out those that were lost. But with force and cruelty you've ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and over every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Verse 16. It's going for the backslider. I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which was driven away. And bind up the broken and strengthen that one that was sick. I'll destroy the fat of the strong and feed them in judgment. I have no statistics, but I know there's a multitude of people out there that were once in the altars of the churches. They were once made that decision. At one time, well, they followed the Lord. At one time, they were excited about Jesus, and things happened. Temptation came. Disappointment came. People disappointed them. Preachers disappointed them. Churches disappointed them. And they fell away. And I believe that there's people, even as we've been in meeting this morning, went down up and down 69, that were once following the Lord. And I just pray that there was enough Holy Spirit in this place to just to say, oh, I remember. I need to come back. I need to get back. I know that our world is a mess. And I believe that some tribulation has already started and it's going to get worse. And I believe that just like when 9/11 occurred and the church is filled up, there will be things that will happen and the backsliders will say, I better get back to God. I know the truth. I've just been disobeying it. And I've got a vision, a constant dream going on that the doors will open and people will run to this altar. They won't wait on an invitation. They'll run to the altar because they know the truth. They will come back to the Lord. The weak you've not strengthened, nor have healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought that was lost, but with force and cruelty. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring back that was driven away. And I believe that some were driven away. They call it in church growth circles, they call it the de-churched. That they've been there, but they want to find a church that's real. They want to find a people that are real. They want to get their hope back. The unchurched and the de-churched. To bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Destroying the fat and the strong. Feed them in judgment. Jesus said to his disciples, now this is, you've enjoyed seeing my miracles, but there's more to this. He said, I'm going to send these 12 out. I'm going to send them out. And I'm going to tell them that it's time for them to go and make disciples. It's time for them to go into all the world. So in Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, he sends them out. These 12 were sent out. He commanded them, saying, don't go the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I believe that's a call not only to the Jewish people, but to the backslider. Matthew 18, verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Then we have the parables of that which was lost. We have the lost sheep. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? Does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Someone said he left it with another shepherd. If he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not the will of the Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You say, well, I don't know if I can make a difference with my life or make a difference in this world or not. I heard this story of these starfish that were just being washed up on the bank, and of course, out of the water, they would die. And this young boy was there, and he was picking up one and throwing it back in the water. And some man came along and said, you think you're making a difference? He picked up one, threw it in the water, and said, I made a difference in that one. One by one. W-O-N-B-Y-O-N-E. We start with the one. I believe that there's some person in your relationships, in your circumference, in your daily walk. There's some person that needs your witness. Some churches do fill a pew Sunday where that you say, I've been told I got to fill my pew. Would you come to church? And they get saved. My brother-in-law was a pastor down here at ARP, and he put a string across. My dad did the same thing, a red airplane and a blue airplane. And he divided people into the reds and the blues. They weren't Crips, no, they weren't. And that was before then. And every time you brought somebody, well, you went forward 6 inches or something like that. And there was one man that said, okay, I'll go to your church to help you win the steak dinner or whatever it was, you know. And he got saved. He became a pastor in this city because of an airplane up there. I believe that there's one person somewhere that every one of us can make a difference in their lives. We can be like the little boy throwing the starfish. I made a difference in that one. Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You want beautiful feet? It says your feet are beautiful if you go out and you preach the gospel of peace. We have the parable of the lost coin. This woman has 10 silver coins, Luke 15:8. She loses one coin. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, search diligently until she finds it. And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, listen to this. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I had a coworker at Teen Challenge, and I just told him about someone that I had witnessed to and led to the Lord that morning. And he said, did they get saved? And I said, yeah. He started dancing. Oh, yes, the Bible says rejoice because the angels in heaven are rejoicing, and I want to rejoice too. That's what it says. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's the heart of God, folks. It's the joy of one soul being rescued. We're to restore the fallen. This is a restoration ministry for all of us because we all need that restoration, that restoring. Every morning when we wake up, we need to be restored physically because that's why God allowed us to sleep, so we could rest and we could get ready for another day. Then we have the lost son. Man had two sons. Luke 15. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. I want my inheritance now, he said. You know, that's what lust is. I want it now. I can't wait. I want it now. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. There he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Sin has pleasure for a season. But when he had spent all, there rose a severe famine in that land. He began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him to his fields to feed swine. So he became a feeder of hogs. From the riches of his father's house, he became a feeder of hogs. He was hungry. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swines ate, but no one gave him anything. They wouldn't even let him have that. He came to himself. That is where repentance begins. When you see your sin, you hate your sin, and you're ready to turn away from your sin. And not just turn away, but turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. He came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, when he was spending all that money, it didn't matter to him because he was buying his own temporary happiness. Happiness is based on what's happening, but joy comes from Jesus. Happiness is based on what's happening, but joy comes from Jesus. I will arise and go to my father. Decision making. He will say, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. So he arose. See these decisions that are made? That's what we have to do to come to the Lord. That's what we have to do to clean up our life, to grow in the Lord. We have to arise and come to the Father. And when he was still a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Here's the way I interpret this. That father never gave up. He knew he was somewhere out there. And every day he was looking down that road. Surely one of these days I'll see some dust in the distance. Surely one of these days. It says when he was far off, his father saw him. And his father had compassion. See, we've got to have compassion if we're going to be soul winners for Jesus. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring that fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. There is nothing that will compare to seeing a life changed by Jesus. To see that that one that was in a destructive lifestyle, being destroyed themselves and destroying others, awakens to the Father's love and says, I'm going to rise and go to the Father. I'm going to say, I have nothing to offer you. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I've fallen away. I need Jesus again. I need the Lord. And he says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to put that robe back on you. I'm going to put a ring on your hand and sandals on your feet. Bring that fatted calf and kill it. We're going to be merry. My son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to be made merry. So we have to be in the restoration business. Jeremiah 50 verse 6 says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They've turned them away from the mountains and they've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. Backsliders. But James 5 verse 19 says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. There's a lot of destruction in the world today. But we're in the construction business. The devil is in the destruction business. Satan is in the destruction business. But Jesus is owner and general manager of Jesus Christ Construction Company. And he can build a new life in you. Matthew 1:21, the prophecy about Jesus coming. And she shall bring forth a son, Mary. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I ask you this morning, you need to be restored in your life. I ask you this morning, are you lost? And to all of us as believers this morning, what have you lost? Psalm 119, 176. Realize that's the last scripture, that longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible. 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. It's letting the Lord pull us back and bring us into where we need to be. You see, we're to be the light in a dark place and serve a great purpose. We're to be light to the world around us. We're to be salt, that preservation that takes place in our world today. And oh, how we need it, how we need to build that next generation of people, because it's going to be harder for them than it was for us if the Lord tarries. Luke 14, verse 34 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, if tasteless salt is worthless, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Have we lost that which has been given to us by the Lord? Is there a freshness? Have we got stale? Have we got stale in relationship to the Lord? Have we got stale in our witnessing? And are being able to follow the Lord in ministry? Have we got stale in the Word of God being so rich and fresh and real? Have we kind of laid it on the shelf? Have we got stale? What have you lost? What about the light? What about the salt? What about penetrating the world around us? What about being a witness? Have you lost heart? Have you lost passion? Psalm 27:13. The psalmist says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we have a challenge on our hands. We have a challenge to be that light, to be that witness for the Lord. Mariah, would you come? That we are in need of refreshment. We're in need of that. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I pray that as I've delivered my soul today, Lord, it's not my words, it's your words. Many scriptures that verify and say what I've tried to say this morning, Lord. Lord, we know that you are ready for us to do business with you today. We're ready, Lord Jesus, and you're ready. Lord, that we would bring light to that person that is in darkness. Perhaps there's people here this morning that maybe you've never known Jesus in a personal way. That you know he's God up there somewhere. But he's not out on some planet somewhere. He's here today. I don't believe you could be here this morning and not be aware of a presence beyond you, beyond the person sitting beside you. The Word of God is quick and sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. And so it's speaking to you this morning. Your excuse may be, I cannot live it. That's right. But Jesus can live it through you. I'm afraid I'll make mistakes. You will. But we have a God that forgives. We have people that will teach you how to grow in the Lord. The very fact that you have a desire to do right shows that God is there. You can be saved and set free this morning. Jesus is the answer for the world today, and he's the answer for your life today. You come forward this morning, there'll be someone here. Someone here to help lead you to the Lord. All he wants is for you to say, I'm yours, Jesus. I can't do it myself anymore. And I feel like there's people here that would say, I'm that backslider that you've been preaching about. I've wandered far away from home, but I want to come home. I want to come back to the Lord. I want to tell you, you say, I've done too much. No, you haven't. He's a forgiving God. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary is for our redemption of sin. And he forgives and he gives grace to help us in time of need. The grace of God is that desire to do right. It's also the power to do what needs to be done. Perhaps this morning you recognize, as you've heard the word, that you've lost some of the zeal, some of the power, some of the desire, some of the freshness. And you want to say, Lord, I want it back. So the altars are open this morning. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come and say, I want to be that one that seeks after the lost. I want to be that one that is a witness for the Lord. I want to be able to call upon the Lord. The Bible says, call upon the Lord and you will be saved. Whosoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. Freshness, Lord. Bring it about. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you've never been to the altar before, we'll just look to someone by you and say, would you go with me? Would you go with me? They'll come with you. Make us, O Lord, into a church that are ready for the world to see. Even like the lady from the motel that said, you're an oasis in the desert for us. God, we know we've been placed here at the north gate of Tyler to shine in the darkness. Bring it about, O Lord. Bring it about, O Lord. Jesus, we pray. If you just need someone to pray with you this morning, we worship team, would you come at this time? People that want to lay their burdens at the cross today, they want to be able to say, I need Jesus. I need the Lord. Precious God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Got a song. Praise Jesus. Listen. Praise your God. Praise your Lord. Yes, you are. You are the source, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Thank you. With men, it's impossible, but with our God, all things are possible. Thank you. He's here, folks. Lord have his way. Let the Lord do his work.
I will follow you.
And we announce today, we found him. Rescue. That's Jesus.
Where else can I go? There's no other name which I am saved. Capture me with grace. And I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Tell me.
His presence this morning. Let him speak to you. You say, I've never heard the voice of God. It doesn't have to be audible. It speaks to the inner man. And it's that gentle word to encourage you. Some correction. Some hope. Can you say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? It's been good to be here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's been good. Freshness, Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, baptize every believer. Anew and afresh, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Let us be a witness for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. While these continue praying this morning, we're going to give you a charge, give you a blessing, but give you a challenge. So won't you stretch your hand this way? This is called the Aaronic blessing. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. May the Lord bless you as you go today. And I charge you to take this word with you and find that one that is lost. Be part of the rescue team. 911 has been rung, and people are saying, I need help. Come and give me help. Strengthen the weak. Give them Jesus. Go and find that need and meet it. Go and find that hurt and heal it. Go and be Jesus to those around you this day. Go and take this message with you, that to seek and to find that which is lost, and to bring them back, to bring them in. So, kid, invite them to church.